Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ had to split. However, Bubble Boy is still with us. And we're going to bring up a topic now, bring in a friend of mine, Eric Douglas. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg.
Now, I'm bringing in Eric for a different reason this time, as a diving expert. No, he's always a diving expert. I'm not kidding. Come on. The guy wrote the book on diving.
That's an exaggeration, but you're pretty close.
You wrote a few.
A book on diving.
All right. You wrote a few. Come on. You helped edit them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so he knows his stuff, and we're usually talking about stuff he's written, but this time I wanted to kind of tap in to some of his expertise. I saw this article this week that kind of brought up an interesting topic. You know, in doing this show for 20 years, I've seen it all. Eric has as well, and I've read a lot about, different controversial things over the years. I remember when we started out Scuba Radio that nitrox was just...
It was voodoo gas.
Yeah, in the beginning, nitrox was questionable. When we started, it already kind of taken hold. But there was still some people that felt that nitrox was playing with fire, so to speak, or voodoo gas, as you called it, and didn't believe the benefits of it. And now it's pretty much widely accepted around the world as one of the preferable gases to breathe if you want to do multi-level dives or dives over multiple days to limit your risk of decompression sickness or the bends, right? And for non-divers listening right now, you've heard of the bends probably. This is the one thing we want to avoid as divers. And those who are familiar with diving obviously are very familiar with this particular topic. It's the one thing we have to take into account when we're, staying underwater too long. And making sure we don't, we can come back to the surface and continue on and do other things. It's, you want to do it safely, but you got to dive within certain limits. So decompression sickness is something that can happen. It's not common by any stretch, but especially if you dive within the limits that are established in the recreational diving world, It's very rare, but it can happen to anybody. Even if you dive within the limits, you could just have some physiological makeup that, you lost the lottery or won it. The odds are pretty rare, but it can happen. And you have to go into a chamber to fix yourself or to recompress your body so it can reformulate and fix you. I'm not going to get into the technical aspects of decompression sickness, but these chambers is what we have to get into as divers, generally, if you have a hit or a bout of the bends or decompression sickness. And, that's what you learn about when you learn how to dive. And here's the downside. If you break the rules, what could happen? However, if you're in a remote area, and actually the article I read was published in Undercurrent. I'll give them props on throwing this topic out there because I hadn't heard it discussed in a while. But if you're out in a remote area that has no chamber, I mean, like Divers Alert Network is trying to get chambers all around the world, every dive destination in the world, so this doesn't happen. But there's still places that don't have that. They can't afford to have a chamber nearby. And if you're in some remote location, exotic diving location that doesn't have a chamber nearby, you better make sure you don't have any problems, because if you do and they can't airlift you out quick enough to a chamber and get recompressed, you could have a real problem, a permanent problem. And that's one of the, you know, risks to diving one of these remote areas. But it brought up the fact of there is another solution that people are dabbling with. And I don't know, you read the article too. I guess this would apply more to experienced divers maybe, or I don't know. It's hard to say, I guess.
Well, okay.
What do you just think?
Okay, so the first thing we have to understand is yeah, this is extremely remote. I mean, we all know I used to work for Divers Alert Network.
Right.
When I was there, we used to have a saying that if it took you three planes, a train, and a donkey to get to your dive site, Dan couldn't come and get you any faster than that. It was
right.
still going to be, you know, in the article they mentioned diving on Cocos Island. Mm-hmm. If you're 36 hours offshore by boat, you're not getting back to the mainland any faster than that.
Right.
They can send a helicopter out
and
but it's still going to be a pretty long evacuation time.
Exactly. And they figure what beyond 4 hours, you could have a serious permanent risk.
I'm not sure about that assertion to begin with. Actually, if you look at most Dan statistics, most divers actually don't get treated for like 18 to 24 hours anyway. So
that's true.
So I question that first assertion.
Okay.
But, so I mean, even if it takes you if it takes you 24 hours to get recompressed, if you're smart enough to recognize as soon as you hit the surface after dive that you recognize that you've got symptoms and this is going to be bad, the first thing you do is get on surface oxygen.
Right.
And that will actually help quite a bit. Mm-hmm. There are actually protocols where if you don't have severe symptoms, that breathing surface oxygen and staying out of the water and doing that sort of thing can actually pretty much mitigate any symptoms you have. Mm-hmm. So therein lies a second problem, though, is the boat you're on has to have enough 100% oxygen on board for you to breathe for 24 hours.
Yeah, or 36 if you're 36 hours
or 36
offshore.
Hours or you know right. whatever the distance is.
And that's pretty much accepted protocol around the world now, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, for oxygen first aid, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Believe me, I've done a lot of training in that regard. Mm-hmm. As far as in water recompression goes, though, it is a tool. But there's a whole bunch of buts and ifs that go before you ever want to try something like this.
Right.
The protocol that they outlined in the article was interesting. I actually pulled up the U.S. Navy Diving Manual's version of it. They do have a protocol for the Navy for doing in-water recompression. It's a little bit different from what they outlined there, but here's the couple things you have to have first off. You have to have full face masks to begin with. You don't want to put an injured diver back underwater breathing 100% oxygen with a mouthpiece. If they were to go into a convulsion or lose consciousness, that mouthpiece is going to fall out of their mouth.
Hmm.
So the first thing you have to have is full face masks. You have to have plenty of oxygen, and you have to have people trained. You have to have crew that can do it, because you can't just say, oh, here, take this oxygen, go back down to 20 or 30 feet and sit there for half an hour. You don't leave a person alone in that situation.
Sure, sure.
The second thing you have to understand is that just as a baseline, remember oxygen is toxic at depth.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the protocol that they outlined in that article, they were talking about going back to 60 feet and breathing pure oxygen.
That's definitely at the limits there, isn't it?
Three times the limit. The limit for breathing pure oxygen in the water while exercising is about 20 feet.
Hmm.
In a chamber, we can do it. We can give somebody pure oxygen because they're resting. They're laying still on a cot. They're not moving. You have a tender in the chamber. And for the record, I've taught chamber courses. I've taught people how to use their chamber on a couple different islands and participated in treatments myself on using hyperbaric chambers. You can do that when the person is lying still and resting and just breathing normally. In the water, for that to happen, the person is going to have to be sitting on something or hanging on something. They can't be swimming at all. It's not like just sending them down to 60 feet and saying, maintain your depth and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to cause an immediate seizure. And they're going to lose consciousness. And a person having a seizing on oxygen at 60 feet is just about the worst thing that could happen to this person.
Yeah, well, I could imagine. I'll tell you what, we're talking a little more technical than we typically do on Scuba Radio, but this is a fascinating topic. And what I want to find out, are there any situations where this might make sense? We'll talk more about it next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Did you throw a trident?
Yeah, there were horses and a man on fire, and I killed a guy with a trident.
Brick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while, because you're probably wanted for murder.
I can heat up the pool a little before you dive in.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg Divemaster, Bubble Boy, and my friend Eric Douglas. We're talking about compression chambers and what happens if, God forbid, you do end up getting the bends and have to deal with this unfortunate thing that we have to watch out for as divers. Now, in-water recompression. You got a compression chamber where you go to a hospital or wherever they have one of these things, and they take you down electronically in this capsule that they pressurize and bring you up real slow to get rid of the bubbles in your veins and all the stuff that are creating the problems. That's kind of what's going on a little bit. But say you're in a remote area, and you have no chamber nearby, and your option is several hours waiting before you can get to a chamber, or considering doing in-water recompression, which, you know, in the past, Eric, I have always thought that was definitely a no-no. You never bother trying to do it. People do it, and they think they know what they're doing, but I haven't heard good things as a result from it. But then I read this article in Undercurrent, and they talk about how this, from their perspective, could be a viable alternative if you're in a real remote area and you have the proper training staff nearby. I've never heard of anyone doing it, but it is more of a technical type of thing that someone, I guess, maybe with that expertise would consider if they had that kind of technical background, maybe. And you mentioned the Navy divers do this, or they have a standard protocol that the Navy does, maybe, or what?
The Navy has one. I will say, however, that I can't think of a time when Navy divers will be in the water that they don't have a chamber. They have a whole surface support protocol. They have a chamber right above them. Right. They literally can get somebody out of the water and in the chamber in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So they have a written protocol. I don't know that they use it once in a blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
It is a viable alternative. But,
not a real good one.
It's not a good one, and it's not for a couple of us out on a private boat saying, "Oh, he's not feeling good. Throw him back in the water for 20 minutes, and he'll be fine."
Yeah,
that's a horrible idea.
No. And in the article, they kind of referred to this. Could this be the new nitrox? They mentioned the voodoo gas that people used to refer to nitrox as. And, could 10 years from now, in-water recompression be a viable alternative for divers in remote areas of the world? I don't see that happening.
And I do not see that happening either. If anything, I see easier access to chambers. One of the things, and you've seen it at DEMA, I've actually never seen one in use, but what they call the hyperbaric stretchers. It's a one man stretcher. You put them in this soft sided chamber. Mm-hmm. You pressurize it, and you can put the person back under pressure, sitting on the deck.
Yeah, it's like a Ziploc bag, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah,
a little heavier duty than that. But yeah,
Ziploc
exactly.
Body bag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can actually repressurize somebody back to the equivalent of about 33 feet.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually feed them oxygen, and there's nobody inside the chamber with them, which is still not ideal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use that for a treatment as such, mm-hmm. but what you would do is you put them back in those hyperbaric stretcher, you stabilize them, get them back under control, and then you can actually evacuate them still inside of that chamber, on the side of that hyperbaric stretcher, to a chamber and where they can conduct the treatment.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of problems with doing it, but it's certainly a possibility. A place I've heard using it is it's once a year, once every 5 years. It's really not, it doesn't happen all that often, is in the Great Barrier Reef. You've got these guys are 2 days from nowhere.
Right.
The places they mentioned in the article, Cocos, Raja Ampat, those kind of places, Truk, although there's a chamber in Truk, but where you're so far remote that you need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The water's got to be really warm. Because even 80 degree water, the person, you're going to get chilled if you're down back in that water for 2 or 3 hours.
Sure. Yeah. And that, it's a long process that they're talking about.
It is a long process. You're looking at, even at the simplest version, you're looking at a couple, 3 hours underwater by the mm-hmm. time it's all said and done.
Yeah. You're talking dry suit type stuff, even in tropical areas, if
exactly.
you have that available. There's so many downsides to it and variables that could screw it all up. I don't think it's a viable alternative. It made me think of it a little bit more open-mindedly in one sense, I guess. I mean, if you get into that situation, and that's kind of what they throw out as a dilemma, and you find yourself in this, you have a choice to make. Do I take that risk of doing something like this if someone on the boat or someone nearby, gives you that alternative? Or take the chance of, trying to just breathe oxygen or getting back to the nearest chamber, however long that takes. You got to personally make that decision, I think. No one could make it for you, that's for
sure.
No
one could make it for you. Personally, if it were up to me, and unless I was diving with a bunch of Navy divers or somebody like that who had that level of expertise, I would take surface oxygen and evacuation.
Yeah.
There's just... there's just too many variables that you can't control for in the water, that it, the risk is just too high.
Well, I love the idea of the body bag. They really ought to try to figure out a way to make that cheap enough so everybody, all the dive boats can afford it, just like they would equip the boats with oxygen. And then as far as running it, they just got to hook it up to their phones like an app. Say, hey, pull out the bag and let's fire it. Download the recompression app. And you hit a button and it sends you through the whole process. I just gave someone $1 million idea. Take it and give me 10%. That's all I ask. Right? Is that a good idea?
I think that that's those are a much better idea than trying to do doing in-water recompression. Yeah. I certainly am not going to argue with Brett Gilliam and the people that quoted in the article. It's a viable alternative, but it's an extremely risky one. So it would only be done under ideal circumstances and with all the tools available.
Right.
Again, for me, surface oxygen and evacuation are the way to go.
Yeah, and the app. Come on, technology, get the lead out. Let's go fix this problem or issue for us. I don't want to find myself in any kind of situation like that. So we need to fix it. I don't want to get into that. But you know, it's interesting. It is an interesting idea, or something to think about. I didn't even think of that as even a remote option, and now, well, maybe it's at least something to consider. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Gonna stick to some warm fuzzy diving, at least as I get ready to get back in the water here as early as next week. I might be in the Bahamas next week diving with hammerheads, 15 footers, but in like 20 feet of water, so it doesn't it's not going to be too extreme on one side of the coin. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, there'll be 15 foot hammerheads in the water with me, but it's only 20 feet of water, so it'll be easy. You would do that, wouldn't you, Eric? Come on.
Absolutely. I'm jealous you're going and I'm not.
Well, I'm not. It's not positive. I'm talking to the dive god. We're trying to work that out for next weekend. We'll see if it comes together. If not, it'll be shortly thereafter. But that could happen next week on the big show. Stay tuned for that. But, you know, we're going to go to the Turks and Caicos in October.
And well, yeah, but that's 9 months away, dude.
It is. We got to go diving way before then. I'm not trying to delay it by any stretch. I'm just saying, as far as we don't have to worry about diving such remote areas where we got to worry about any of this in water recompression nonsense.
No, that's fun and warm and beautiful diving. And I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the story that's going to come out of that too, though.
Absolutely. Have you come up with your your underlying theme yet?
I think so. I'm not ready to share it yet, but I think I've been making some notes. I've got an idea for the storyline, I'm looking forward to throwing the cast and crew on the boat into the book.
All right, there you go. Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, October 7th through the 14th in the Turks and Caicos with Explorer Ventures. Eric's going to be on board. He's going to write a story and incorporate everybody who's on the boat into the story in some capacity after he meets them and talks to everybody. So you could be in Eric's new book. It'll be awesome. It'll be, a Death on the Seven Seas. I don't know. It'll be something crazy that'll happen to everybody on the boat. And you could be the star, or, well, you could be the victim, or the...
You could be dead guy number one.
Yes, that's right. Or two, or three. Who knows how many. But call up Explorer Ventures and book it and join us in October. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Better than porn. It's like porn and Shark Week combined.
He's got no legs to kick it with, and he's got no arms to swim with. But nonetheless, he is a scuba diver man, and he's doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man, doing the best he can.
Scuba diver man,
scuba diver man,
scuba diver man,
scuba diver man.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
Well, that's okay. You know. We can relay. We're divers. Aren't we?
Take it, Scooby-Doo.
Okay. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy in the studio with me. Eric Douglas hanging, I think, as well. Eric, can you hang for the rest of the show, or you got to split?
Yeah, I'll hang out for the rest of the show.
All right, I appreciate that, because I wanted to bounce some ideas off of you. You brought up the, you know, the diving that we have scheduled for October in the Turks and Caicos with Explorer Ventures. Hopefully, I'm going to go diving in the Keys. In the Bahamas next week. And then between then and October, I have a wide open schedule. And people are asking me, Greg, where are you going? What are you going to do for your first dive after open heart surgery? Well, like I said, it could be with the Hammerheads of Bimini next weekend. That is what I'm working on with the dive guide right now. If that does not pan out, I may just do a quick run down to the Florida Keys and check in with our buddy Captain Slate there in Key Largo. But what have you been doing? Have you been doing any diving lately, Eric? Or are you waiting on me to tell you where to go?
I think I'm waiting on you to tell me where to go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is some of the plans. I've been getting.
You're the Pied Piper, Greg.
Well, I've been called worse, I guess. So I'll take it. But yeah, I mean, I've been having a few people email me and wanting to know, hey, Greg, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? I want to tag along and witness this. I don't know. My first, like, real dive back in the ocean, it may be a little bit more of a personal experience. You hear what I'm saying? I may want to do this under the radar and make sure nothing goes wrong before I expose myself.
My first dive back in the water, it was literally just two of us, just me and my dad diving in the local lake. You know, kind of went back to my my original stomping grounds where I was first certified to dive, and
yeah,
it felt good to not have pressure of people watching, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I'm not opposed to having other folks out there, and it's funny you bring that up. You went back to a place where you first dove in that lake. My first diving when I got certified back in 98 was 93. My first real ocean dives were down in West Palm and the Florida Keys in Key Largo with Captain Slate. So is what I'm flirting with going back down there, because it'd be shallow, it'd be easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the water right now is a little on the cool side for a warm water wuss like myself in Florida, but it's not bad. And if you hit it on a good day, it'll be perfectly fine. But going down to their Keys, down there to the Keys, and doing a nice shallow dive, nice leisurely dive, maybe in Pennington Park or on the Christ of the Abyss statue or something like that. Sounds very appealing to me right about now. You hear what I'm saying?
And I'll tell you what, that exact location has been on my mind a lot recently, because the next Mike Scott novel is actually set in Key Largo.
Oh,
and involves the Christ of the Abyss statue and that sort of thing. So now that's not going to be out till late May probably. So, but it's coming. And okay. Yeah, the next one's set right in Key Largo. So if nothing else, we need to plan a trip, say May, June, back to the Keys and launch the new book.
Well, I like that idea. We definitely will have to do that. Now, the Scuba Show in Long Beach, California is the first weekend, I believe, of May this year. They moved it up a few weeks. So
oh, really? Okay.
We got to work around that, because I got to go see my Left Coast friends out there for that big event in Long Beach, California. But yeah, that's a great time to go diving down in the Florida Keys. You know, right now, like I said, the weather in Florida is kind of iffy. We're in the winter months, and what happens is it doesn't get cold, but we get these fronts that come through, and it starts blowing, and the seas get a little too rough. Might be a little cool on the surface when you're coming up after your dive. The water temp might be in the you know, might get down to the low 70s or thereabouts. I'm not sure what the water temp is down there in South Florida right now. And down in the Florida Keys, it obviously is a little bit warmer. So it just depends on, you know, how the weather gods are raining down on you that week, what you're getting. It's just a little, iffy week to week. Yeah. So you just got to watch what the weather's doing. You can hit it on a perfect day or not. But the weather, I mean, the diving can be great. And this is the time of year in Florida where we get these interesting encounters up and down the Florida coast because of the cooler water. They'll get whale sightings. We've had some of those lately. They just had a whale shark down off of Jupiter a couple weeks ago. Great whites. I haven't heard anything about great whites lately, but I have heard about the whale shark. And what was the other thing? Was it a gosh? I mean, you know, that's why the hammerheads hang out in Bimini. I mean, that's only 40 miles from the coast of Florida to Bimini, and the hammerheads go there at this time every year, and they're very consistent day to day, pretty much. And you can go out there right now and dive with the hammerheads, which, you know, hopefully I'll do that next week. But as far as the other chance encounters, this is a perfect time in Florida to be diving because, first of all, the crowds are down. There's not as many divers out there, I don't believe, at this time. Even though the snowbirds come down, I don't know if the dive operators really do a ton of business at this particular time. I'm talking more like Fort Lauderdale area. That could be a little different down there by Slate. They might be cranking right about now. But you know, us Florida divers, we wait until it warms up a little bit, like April, May, because we are warm water wusses. You know,
absolutely,
and
but
those guys come down from Canada, New York, and all those, and they're like, 72 degree water. Oh my gosh, I'm going free bowling, baby.
Absolutely.
And the buff
wetsuit,
divers,
who needs a wetsuit?
Yeah, well, you know, these Canadian divers are a little whacked. We were talking about that in hour one. Have you ever encountered one of those groups, Eric? One of the buff divers?
I have not. I heard part of that discussion. I've never been either blessed or horrified, either way you want to look at that.
Mm. Well, I don't know. That Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in October in the Turks and Caicos, it will be in international waters, so anything can happen, I guess. You know, if you wanted to mark it off the list, you know.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying if there's anyone else on the boat, we should encourage them if we, you know, think that would be good for them or more likely for the other dirty old men on board, I guess. But, yeah.
You and I have both been on a lot of dive boats. Most of the people on dive boats, you really don't want to see naked anyway.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate reality. But we can dream. We can still hold out hope that it might be, you know, that lightning strike might happen. And, you know, and it actually did happen to me once. I described that experience years ago, but I didn't see it. It just happened on the same boat I was. And then I got back and got an earful from the crew. Like, oh, my God, Greg, did you see that? They were butt-ass naked. Oh, my God, it was beautiful. I'm like, oh, well, thanks for telling me, you rat bastard. So, anyway, yeah, it could happen. But yeah, where are you headed next? Do you have any plan at all, or you are just waiting on me?
Well, I'm not waiting on you.
Well, I didn't
as such,
think.
But
yeah.
No, I don't really have any dive plans just yet. And that's the problem. I'm up in West Virginia. It's unseasonably warm today, but it's January in West Virginia, so there's just not a whole lot of diving, and it's not even on my mind as much right now.
Yeah.
I'm writing about it every day, but I'm imagining Mike Scott in
the Keys.
In the Keys.
Well,
but
your closest location, is it off of North Carolina with the Sand Tigers, or is it down in the Keys?
Yeah, no. The closest place to get in the water, if ever going for the ocean, would be run to North Carolina, go to Wilmington or and I just lost it. But, yeah, off the coast of North Carolina.
Yeah, where they have the Sand Tigers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because Jerry the Diver Guy keeps talking to me about coming up there and going there. But I don't know if I would assume it's iffy this time of year for even that operation, isn't it? Or are they cranking right now?
They're not diving much right now either. They may be running some, but they're not diving much. It's a little too cold. And actually, I don't think the sand tigers are out right now. I think they come in more when it gets a little bit warmer water, when the Gulf Stream comes in and heats up North Carolina.
Yeah. But they could have those chance encounters. This is the time of year when those great whites come in with the cold water, and you see the videos on YouTube and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I got to finish up the show today talking about the latest YouTube video with the bull shark. Have you seen this, Eric?
I have not.
Bubble Boy?
I have not seen it.
What? You guys have to be the only two people on the planet that have not seen the bull shark spearfishing story.
Oh, Lord.
Or video. Google it right now. We'll take a break and talk about how people are using this video as a message, a warning, or what. But spearfisher attacked by bull shark. That's next on Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a PADI diver or PADI professional? Has your PADI certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit PADI.com/my story. That's PADI.com/my story. And thanks for choosing PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
When you want fun, just read a page from my dive log book. I used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But in this underwater, so live and let's dive.
Live and let's dive.
I said live and let's dive.
Live and let's dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy in the studio. Eric Douglas with me as well. And I got a message here that Casey from the Tobacco Hut is now on the phone, who you heard at the beginning of hour one there. Casey, are you with us? What's up, man?
Yeah, Greg. Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Good, man. We've recovered somewhat. But we appreciate your hospitality there at the TobaccoHut.com, by the way. Check it out online if you like. But what's going on with you, man?
Well, I got a little problem here, Greg.
What? What do you mean?
Drunken is still here.
The drunken sailor is he's there at the Tobacco Hut.
In front of my shop this morning with three or four bottles of mermaid rum empty on the concrete, and he just won't go away. He keeps saying he wants to put cigars on Scuba Radio tab.
No, don't let him do that. Just kick him out of your establishment. Drop him off in the nearby gutter, and he'll feel like he's at home. And
all right, well,
just walk away.
There's an abandoned bank around the corner. I'll tell him his money's in there.
Okay, do that. Oh, man. Casey, I'm sorry, but we'll talk to you again real soon. And yeah, but don't feel obligated to do anything other than what I just told you. He'll feel like home.
So, you know, everybody else is good on their tab, but I just won't trust him.
Yeah, don't let him put anything on anyone's tab. That's the.
All right, he swore that you'd be good for it, and I went, I really need to check with Greg first.
No, don't do that. He'll put you out of business before you get even started. So, help Casey out. He needs all the help he can get at the TobaccoHut.com there in the Tampa area, or Newport Richey specifically. It's a great little establishment that we had the luxury of stopping off at after our little mermaid rum run earlier. So that was cool. But Casey, we wish you the best and apologize. Okay, so let's talk about this shark video, this latest shark video that's popping up on the web and going viral. It's the one where the guy is spearfishing, he's coming up to the surface, and you see a bull shark swim up real quick, and literally the spear fisherman, I don't know, if he doesn't necessarily ram it into the shark's mouth, but the shark, you know, gets mouthed with the spear gun, which, and you see blood go, it's pretty dramatic footage. And Eric, you've seen this, right?
I just watched. I've actually watched it a couple times now since you first told me about it.
Yeah. What do you think?
I've always heard that bull sharks were known for
being aggressive.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. You know, these videos pop up periodically around the world and they go viral. I mean, they're pretty sensationalistic, and so, you know, that's not the reason why I want to talk about it. The reason I'm talking about it is how people are spinning it. I've seen some stuff online where people are putting up this video, and once again, instead of blaming the activity of spearfishing, turning around and saying, oh, hey, it's these shark dive operators that are feeding sharks that are causing this type of activity to happen to these spearfish. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? I believe this one, by the way, is in Australia. Is that right, Bubble Boy?
Yes, it is.
And I don't know of any operators that are feeding bull sharks in Australia.
I don't know anybody feeding bull sharks.
Yeah, I mean, bull shark feedings are extremely rare. There are some places where they've done it. But look, you know, if you're a spear fisherman, this is an assumed risk that you could encounter an aggressive shark. Eric has witnessed it. I have witnessed it. When you spear a fish, if there is a shark in the area, whether it's a bull shark or any kind of shark for that matter, it will change their behavior.
Absolutely.
And they could potentially come after you. Now, even that one didn't look like it was coming after the spear fisherman. He probably had a fish near him, or maybe hooked to his waist.
Yeah, my guess is he had a couple fish on a stringer tied to his waist, and if they're not, especially if they're not completely dead, you know, you've got a wounded fish in the water that's bleeding.
Right.
And yeah, a shark are going to go, hey, lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what they do. And when you add that live element of an injured fish that's been speared, that's still shaking around and stuff, that's when they change behavior dramatically. Now, you put a dead fish in the water, like a carcass or something, which is what the dive operators use when they're doing shark feeds and things like that. The sharks are much more calm and more in a scavenging kind of mode. You know, people aren't familiar with those dives. They don't understand that. I have this conversation with these guys all the time. But when I see this stuff online, it really irks me. Because I'm like, look, I have nothing against spearfishing. I really don't. But don't sit there and blame a dive operator doing a shark dive when a spear fisherman gets bum rushed by an aggressive shark. It has nothing to do with either one of those activities. Those are two separate activities. One does not cause the other. The activity you're doing is what's causing the activity to happen to you, and quit pointing the finger at something else. I just annoys the God. Oh, it makes me crazy. So there you go. You know, you can Google it and get the facts if you so choose. But just remember, what you see and read on the internet may not be true. Could fall under that category of fake news. All right, there. I'm off my soapbox for now, at least for this week. And that'll have to do. So, Eric, thanks for joining us, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Good.
All right, there you go. And Bubba Boy, thank you as well.
My pleasure.
And we'll leave you with this. Remember, it's always better. Where, Bubble Boy?
Down where it's wetter.
That's indeed true. Safe diving, everyone. That's why it's hot. I'm not the one. I'm the only one.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.